And I got out. I come running back to you. I come running back to you. Yeah, I come running back to you. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia's people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. This is Wayne Bennett. This is a special podcast today. It's April the 24th, 2023. And I'd like to give a shout out to the music group Alabaster Boxer, who is doing our intro music now. And if you get a chance to listen to these guys' new album, check them out. Our guest today has been on here before. Actually, it was almost 1 year today. And he's, of all things, he's a Sunday school teacher, he's a real estate mogul, a drone a manager and pilot. He's huge WVU Tech supporter and independence announcer. Yeah, we can go on and on, but it's good. This is a short program. But first of all, Randy Punt, welcome.
Thank you, Wayne. It's good to be back. I was thinking it was been about a year ago.
It has been. And before we get going here, did you go see the Savannah Bananas?
You know, I'm so disappointed because I'm actually a fan of the Bananas, and I had got online for the try to get tickets, and it's a lottery thing, and I was just like $25 ticket. I was so excited, and I didn't get picked in the lottery, so I didn't get to go, and it was a sellout. I got a lot of friends that went, and they are my favorite thing about the Bananas is the rules that are so uncanny. But my favorite rule is that if a fan in the bleacher catches a foul ball, the batter's out. And I just think that's, you talk about fan participation, I think that's hilarious. So if the home team, if your team, you want to drop that ball, that foul ball, you know, but if it's a team against, you're rooting against, you want to catch that foul ball in the bleachers. Yeah, I didn't get to go though.
I've followed them also, and I didn't even really know they were going to be in Charleston until they'd already sold all the tickets, you know, and from my understanding, the crowds were big. They had a great time, and this was one of the smallest venues that they normally play in larger ones and sell out. So maybe we get an opportunity another time. But they've changed a few things. They used to have people that aren't familiar with Savannah Bananas, they're kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. And they used to have their travel team with them, like the Washington Generals that followed the Globetrotters. But now they've changed it, and they usually play the home team of that particular stadium.
So, right.
But it's I'm sure it's entertaining.
And you can't see them in Savannah. Their tickets sell out the year before. Every game is sold out in Savannah. I was like, oh my gosh, they're coming to Charleston. I got to get tickets. And I didn't, but it was my wife's birthday party, so I guess it worked out for the best.
Well, maybe we could start a Beckley Bananas team.
Yeah,
they're not playing much over at Epling Stadium now, so that might be an idea. And what you got going now? You've got a lot of irons in the fire, and very important ones, I'm sure.
Well, I do. And I had someone ask me the other day, like, you know, I'm retired from my day job, but I sell real estate and I work with independents. I work with tech. And someone said, hey, how do you keep going so busy? And I don't do anything that I don't love doing. There's nothing I'm involved with. And that's, you can't ask for any more than that. You know,
right.
I love doing everything I'm involved with, whether it's tech or, the main thing I wanted to come in today is talk about the Fellowship Christian Athletes. And I've served on the board on and off for the last 25, 30 years, been involved when Mike White was really getting everything started here locally. And Mike left a couple years ago, and he's at Duke University now with FCA. And we've gone through a couple of different leaders, and this past year, Brett Floyd, who is he gave up his job as a high school teacher at Oak Hill. And Brett grew up with FCA when he was in middle school, high school. He's been a big supporter all along. He's actually now our area rep. So anyways, Brett, fantastic, humble guy. You just kind of guy you want to, you know, settle up beside and let's get some stuff done. And it's been amazing. When we started this last school year, we had seven huddles, registered huddles, and a huddle is each group in each school. So, and we're talking middle school, high school, college. Our board is over top of Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas County. And so we had seven schools out of 17, and we set a goal of getting a huddle in all 17 schools within the next 2 years. And that was what we wanted to do. And Brett brought an amazing, Brett's from Oak Hill, so he brought some board members from Fayette County. We got Nicholas County now. Our board has expanded. We've had a very healthy board now, which is very important. Long story short, we went from seven huddles to 16, and we're working on our 17th. So that means we'll have a FCA huddle in every middle school, high school, and at WVU Tech by the end of the school year, which is amazing. And we went from averaging, I don't have the exact numbers prior to this year, but I'm guessing they were around 100, maybe 200 kids that were attending FCA prior to this year. And right now, the last week, we're averaging 1,200 students on each overall in three counties. I've been to the Independence Huddle, 100, 150 kids. Middle schools, 100 kids, Shady Middle School. I know that I've seen 100 kids, and even over in Fayette County. So it's growing so fast, and it's just been amazing. And in the world we live in today, our kids need some solid foundation. They need great direction. There's so much turmoil and strife and worry, and there's so many issues going on in kids' lives today, and we want to give them a positive.
When do they meet? When do the huddles?
It varies by school. I know, I'm not an educator, so I don't know what these breaks are called. I can't remember, but I know Independence, it's during the school period. It's during school. There's a period there where they've got 15, 20 minutes that they can do something. So they have their groups meet, but most of them are meeting during school. Some of them are meeting right after school. I think Woodrow had been meeting like right after school on one day of the week. The key to FCA is that it is student led. So, you know, we live in a world where there's, you know, people want to question the constitutionality of having a religious club in school and all that. But as long as it's student led, we have student leaders. And that's the part of our board and our adult leaders. We obviously you got to have a counselor for every club on campus. Uh-huh. So you got to have a teacher or staff member that is in charge of that. But they are student led. So every huddle has at least one or two students that are leading that huddle, you know, doing Bible studies or whatever it is. That's the great thing about it is we're making leaders. And one of our jobs is to help those leaders as the board.
Do you have to be an athlete to be in the FCA?
You do not. And I think that's been a long time question about Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Well, if you're not an athlete, we're leaving up. And I guarantee half of our kids are not athletes. They might be fans of athletics. FCA has been, and it's one of the reasons I've supporting athletics for most all my life. It really caught my attention early on back in the 90s when Mike White started forming huddles, and I've seen the impact it makes on young people. I have a nephew, and it's in Denver now, that was the FCA leader at Independence High School back in the, probably graduated in 08. He's now pastor of a church in Denver, and I can name one student athlete after another that's been affected. But yeah, it's not, you don't have to be an athlete. we use the athletics is a great, it's a thing that brings people together from all different areas. You don't have to be an athlete. You can someone that enjoys sports or whatever. But it's growing, and I've been to several of the W Tech huddle groups. We're growing there. Baseball players, basketball players, and cross country. We've got we got some people that are like members that are they're not on any sports team.
Well, this goes all the way up to the professional level also, too, doesn't it?
It does, but our focus is on students. Yeah. That is where, we have a lot of pros that are involved in FCA. Uh-huh. And that support. And that one of the reasons I wanted to really come out now and talk with you is because we are getting ready to have our home team banquet. And that will be on May 9th. And we have Casey Legg. The WU football kicker that just graduated, and he could have played one more year. He's decided he's not going to. He's going to pursue. He doesn't know what he's pursuing yet. He actually came to our tech huddle a couple weeks ago and got to. And there was only like 20 of us in the room, so we got to all sit down and just chat with him. Amazing, amazing young guy. I always loved when Casey would get interviewed on. After a WU game.
I loved to hear him interviewed too. And I saw some pictures of the meeting you had at WU Tech. I saw my buddy Ron Cantley and Richard Gerald, some of those guys were there.
So Ron and Richard are both on our board, our FCA board. And so there were several other people there that were, we had several board members there that night. And our baseball coach, Coach Nesselroot, was, he's heads the FCA at Tech, and Joe also, Joe Goddard, my old coach, is assistant coach there with Ness. And
now this is on May the 9th?
May the 9th at Tamarack. So, we're going to have, and Dan D'Antoni from Marshall University is also going to be speaker.
Oh, wow.
So we end up getting Dan and Casey. It is obviously a fundraiser. For us, it's twofold. It's a way for us to show the community what we're doing with FCA, but we want to send kids to camp. So we want to scholarship as many kids as we can to we call them power camps. So again, FCA is student led organization on campus, and when we send these guys to power camps, they may have baseball, football, whatever different kind of sports. But the main thing is we want our leaders to go to these camps, and we teach them how to be better leaders, stronger leaders. So life impacting camps for these young people. And so a lot of the things we do to raise funds is to help send kids to camp and also support. Again, we've grown from 100 to 1200 kids a week attending these huddles. So we need the support. We need to make sure that this doesn't die down and that we keep the ball rolling. But we have sponsorship packages. If anyone's interested, when we do this podcast, we'll put some links online on how they can attend the dinner. You can for $100 a seat, you can attend the dinner. What we're really looking for are businesses that will do it, buy a table of eight for $750. Mm-hmm. And then we're also that's the 9th. On the May the 5th, we're having a golf tournament. We didn't plan to do these both within a week of each other, but once we got started, we were kind of late getting some of this stuff together, and you have to pick venues, and it's hard to schedule things. But we're doing a golf tournament at Grand View on May the 5th. And
that's May the 5th. What day is that? What of the week?
That is a Friday.
Okay.
So it'll be a four team scramble. General, $400 a team, $100 a player. And if people are interested, we have a package deal where you can do, I think for $1,250, you can do you can sponsor be a whole sponsor for the golf tournament, plus get a table, at the banquet. and then our table buyers will get an autographed football or a basketball from Dan D'Antoni or Casey Legg.
That's cool.
So, we've put this together pretty quick and trying to get the word. We're starting to fill the tables up, getting a lot of positive results. And
how's the response been so far?
It's been good. And a matter of fact, I just got a text this morning with an update. And so at the moment, we got 9 golf teams and 10 table sponsors. So 9 golf teams. And we're continuing to take on more golf teams, hole sponsors. The hole sponsor is $100 a hole if a business wants to get their name on a hole. But we've sold 10 tables so far, and I'll throw this in there too. This fall, I had this suggestion a couple of weeks ago at a board meeting. I started playing pickleball this summer. I don't know if you've got into pickleball yet.
I haven't.
Okay. Well,
my buddy Barksdale is pushing.
So yes, he is, and I got trained by the master. So I've been to the Dave Barksdale pickleball training center, and it's fun. It's just a blast. What's so attractive about pickleball is people my age can get out there and play pickleball and play competitive. I've got buddies with hip replacement and shoulder replacements and knee replacements that are out there playing pickleball. It's not like you're doing a ton of running. It's mostly just hitting the ball over a little net. But we're going to, I was telling our board, I'm like, this pickleball is exploding nationwide. It's huge. And I'm like, we should really have a tournament. I don't know that there's no one else doing pickleball tournaments around here. And so we approached, so Brett, I think, goes to church with Dave at First Baptist, and they approached Dave about it. And he's like, oh, I'll put the tournament on. So Andy Knapp has volunteered. Andy's a good friend of mine. And so we're going to have a pickleball tournament coming up this fall. And I think that will be huge. It's such a growing sport. And my wife and I, we went out and bought paddles, and it's crazy sport. But
down at Key West a couple of years ago, they played everywhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was all the courts were full from 8 o'clock in the morning until whenever.
They're converting tennis courts everywhere to pickleball courts.
Yeah.
Because the tennis courts are just sitting there. Pickleball courts are filled up and people waiting in line. I had friends that started playing and they like, you need to come out. So my wife and I went out and really enjoyed it. And of course, in Barksdale's little class there, you go and you basically learn the game.
Yeah.
And I think they're still have every Thursday night, if people want to learn the game, you just show up over there and Dave takes you down one end of court, and then they have two other courts, and they have people playing. And then once you get started, and then you learn the rules and where not to step, where you can step, and they'll scream at you because when you first start playing, it's like you don't know what you're doing and how to keep score.
The competition on television, guys are something else. But
there was a celebrity game the other day, John McEnroe, and I can't remember who all was. They were playing in a celebrity pickleball game. And of course, McEnroe was throwing stuff and being himself. But.
So you're going to have this online, how to get to the play,
yes,
the golf tournaments and, the,
right,
and get to the banquet?
Yeah, when we post this online, and I've already posted all this online already, but we'll try to link it to the podcast, wherever we post that podcast, and have a link to where people can register and or for more information.
I was just looking at some things, before you came over. I didn't know FCA had been around since actually 1954.
Yes.
And 114 countries.
Tom Landry back in the day. Tom Landry was one of the first huge proponents of FCA.
Yeah,
he was like the national chair for a long time, and.
Also coming around, I mean, throwing this in a little bit, you, on June 17th, you're having a picnic and reunion at Independence, aren't you?
We are having, I was senior class president. I was the second graduating class of Independence. So I always told my kids when you get to high school, run for office your freshman, sophomore, junior year. Don't run for office because the senior class president, they don't tell you it's lifetime. Yeah. So your senior class president, well, for the next 50 years, they're going to be, that's who they call. Like, we need to have a reunion, but I enjoy it again. What we did at Independence, which Independence was built in 76, the first graduating class was 77. So we had 77, 78, 79. When that school was built, those were the three classes that entered that building. And so we've, the last two big reunions, we've combined those three classes together. So we call it the 70s reunion. And so it was the class of 79, we did a 30-year reunion. And then my class of 78, we did a 40-year reunion back in 2018. And so every 9 years, we're having a big reunion. So this next one coming up in 2027 will be the 50th class reunion for the first graduating class. And then in between, we're doing every 3 years. Wow. So this year, it's going to be a picnic open to all of our graduates from the 70s. Bring their families. There's no registration. We just wanted to, have a very simple Lake Stevens shelter number one. When I was a kid, that's where everyone went to Lake Stevens. I can still remember. I can still hear the jukebox playing up there at the concession, and you know, going down the steps to the lake. And that was that's where we all hung out. So we try to do a picnic there every time we get together.
You also have your hands full with the Cofield Conference. What's going on with the Cofield?
Yeah, so
the Cofield Conference has been around a long time, but it's going through a metamorphosis now.
It is. There's a lot of change going on. So I've been involved with the Cofield Conference for the last probably year or so. We are expanding left and right. You know, Cofield Conference. And I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it was single A, double A schools here in Southern West Virginia. And we have recently signed up Woodrow, Princeton. We've got triple A teams. We've recently talked, and I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this or not, but we have teams in Kanawha County that are talking to us about joining the Cofield Conference. It is expanding very quickly. And we're excited about that. We feel like that you need some good conference alignment. Again, it's to have some good tournaments, to have you know conference championships. We are expanding our awards. Our Player of the Year and all that. And we've done some fundraising in last year. We had the first Ryan Haga Memorial Golf Tournament, and Ryan was a very close friend of mine. Died of a heart aneurysm or something been a year and a half ago now. His son and my son played high school ball together, played basketball together. Tyler, his family's very close to mine. And just really tore us all up. Ryan was a referee. Ryan Hago is the reason that I do PA. 10 years ago, our sons are playing ball, and I'd never even thought about doing anything like that. And Ryan's like, "You need to do the PA guy for the football would dropped out, and you need to take that over." And I'm like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." And Ryan, he said, "Nah, you need to do it." He said, "I'll sit with you." And Ryan did the clock, and so I started doing PA football games, and then the next year I did basketball games. Or like I say, both our kids play. So Ryan is the reason that I do public address. And so I've been involved with this. Last year we had the Ryan Haga Golf Tournament out at Glade on the Cobb course. I'm told it's the biggest golf tournament we've ever had in Raleigh County. We had two shotgun starts at a 9 o'clock and a 1 o'clock. We thought we were going to have to add another course because we had so many people sign up.
Wow.
And so this year we are back again on September 10th. Again at Glade Springs, $100 a player, $400 a team, and this tournament supports Cofield Conference. whether it's tournaments or, you know, whatever needs to be done. You know, this is a tournament strictly for the Coalfield Conference, and Ryan was a big proponent of that. So
now the Coalfield, in recent years, they basically didn't have require competition or have tournaments. They had a wrestling tournament,
right?
And they might have had a cross country. I don't know.
They had volleyball tournament,
and but they had a pretty decent awards ceremony at the end. And but now, from what I've heard, that they're trying to set up a basketball tournament, which they've never had.
Never.
I don't think.
Yep.
And I did hear stirrings that the MSAC, Mountain State, may some of the teams are wanting out of there, and I don't blame some of them.
Yeah.
But it's a decent conference, but you've got some huge schools and you've got some not so big schools, and it's just, and sometimes the talent level.
Yeah.
Just
been, yeah, the MEC. I mean, and I understand, you know, Woodrow's having to travel all over the state and to make sure they're getting those conference games in. And so now Woodrow is going to be part of the Coalfield Conference, Greenbrier East and Princeton. And
Oak Hill.
So we're adding all these AAA teams, and now we are, again, I'm told there are other teams north of Raleigh County that are really considering joining in. We're trying to make this a Southern West Virginia thing. If we can get Kanawha County.
And we have to mention Greg Frenette and Marty Jones.
And Greg and Marty are the keys. Yeah. Yeah. They're the ones that, they call us, and we do conference calls every couple of weeks, to, especially for the golf tournament coming up. You know, we're keeping together. But yeah, Marty and Greg have been unbelievable. And they have a passion. They were very close with Ryan, too. They're referees. All the referees, people don't give referees enough credit around here. You know, all you see are the bad calls. But these guys care about kids. I've got to know them so well. And they care about the kids. They want to, they want what's best for the kids. And so, Marty and Greg, that's where they're coming from. They're coming from that referee background.
Yeah. I've seen Greg on the football field, and I remember him, when I'm back in the softball days. He was a pretty good softball player too. But they got that's a lot of work. And of course, trying to get everybody into one frame of mind is tough.
It is. And one thing we've added in the last year, and again, it's learning stages. We've had two media days, never been done before, where bring a half a dozen kids from each sport. We had a fall and then a spring, and try to get in, like the first one we had here in Beckley, and the second one, I think they went down to Greenbrier County, giving these kids an opportunity to experience a media day where there are, there's 30 different media, television, radio, newspaper, online. So all the sports writers can come there, and they can just, it's a field day. For the sports writers, and a lot of them I've talked to, I know several of the sports writers personally, and like, this is great, because they're making notes that they're going to use later on in the season. They talk to this kid and his aspirations and all that, and they can work that into their writings as the season goes on. So that was a big deal, and that's very popular right off the bat. It's one of the first things that we did.
Have you heard anything? Where's Judah Price going?
Boy, I get that question. I know Judah,
he's in the FCA, isn't he?
He's been a part of our FCA and a part. And I work with a small group of FCA. We have students we have a Bible study on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. Over in Sophia, uh-huh. And they're predominantly Independence kids, and we'll have anywhere from 35 to 40 kids. And Judah's he's one of our attendees. I've talked to Judah. I don't know. I have no secrets to tell. He was at, everyone knows he was at WVU last week or two, and you know he's made a quote or two. You know, all I know is that he does have some D2 offers.
Good,
solid, you know, full scholarship offers for some D2 schools. He's got decisions to make. We had Atticus Goodson win the Kennedy Award year before last at Independence, unprecedented. And then here comes Judah Price, wins the Kennedy, back-to-back Kennedy Award winners out of Independence High School. You know, I haven't been back here since Independence won our state championship. I haven't been able to even talk about that yet. Yeah. But you know, Judah, you know, so Atticus is playing baseball, you know, and Atticus' thing was his dad played football in college. He's like, I've seen my dad's knees. And so he's playing baseball.
He got redshirted this year.
He's redshirted, right.
I've been kind of watching that team, and they were ranked first in the country.
They are every year. And, I mean, this team's been to the World Series like 19 out of the last 20 years.
Last time I looked, they were like 35-5 or something.
That's why he went there. He went – Atticus has a desire to go big league in baseball, and he felt that was the school. That's where he needed to go. Go to a small school like that. That's a baseball school. So Judah, Judah's a wrestler. I think Judah had some offers from WVU for wrestling before football season even started last year. So he's got decisions to make. I don't know what they are. I know he's got offers on the table. Several of his teammates have already accepted offers at Concord and West Virginia State. And
I talked with him right before Christmas, and he wanted to see what was out there where he could possibly wrestle and play football in college.
Yeah.
And that's almost unheard of.
It's hard.
Now.
That's hard.
It's almost impossible now. I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah. It's one thing to play football and baseball, a spring sport, but to play a fall sport and a winter sport.
Yeah. Well, in college now, they start 1st of October. I mean,
well, it never ends.
Season starts.
Even
yeah,
Division II. My daughter played Division II volleyball, and it's year round.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like when I played baseball in college, it was like high school. You kind of showed up, second semester, and we went to the gym every once in a while and whatever. But Division II sport, I don't care what it is. When she played volleyball, it was spring. They had spring volleyball. They had summer workouts, and then the fall comes. It was intense. And college sports are it's year round, but there are a few that
Since we're talking about college sports, what do you think about the NIL and the portals? I mean, what's your opinion about those things?
About football or basketball? And I mean, I right now. When you look at the basketball, what Huggs has got going on up there, the other day, the WVU was ranked the number one team in the nation as far as the portal is concerned. We've got four players right now that are consider some of the top 10 players in the country coming to WVU. It's hard for me to say I'm in favor or against. And yeah. I do think the... I do. I believe they need to put a cap on it. I think these college players making $1 million a year. I mean, the kid that went to Kentucky,
Shibway
is making $3 million a year playing college basketball.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling. I don't know about cap. I've just been what I've thought. There needs to be a little more regulation. Right now, it's just wild.
Well, and the NCAA, they are changing things up. I think they opened this can of worms, and sometimes it's hard to reel it back.
And plus, you got to think about female athletes too. Title IX is going to come in there somewhere and start questioning. Wait a minute,
Well, that was that's always been the thing,
That's one of the
reasons. Because the basketball and football players are, and I know even the WU players are making six figures. The big Dante Stills. I heard him talk about. He's making six figures. playing college football this year. That's not a bad. It's not a bad deal. I would have loved to meet.
Oh yeah,
I'd love
I'm not against college players making money. I think they should have been making a long time ago.
I think there should be a cap. It is concerning. When it first came out, I thought it was over. I thought, you know, Texas, the schools that live in metro areas that have donors that can just throw millions of dollars at kids. You just felt like, well, they're going to just take all the athletes and there's going to be like 30 colleges left in the U.S. that are going to be able to compete with each other. But, you know, like I say, Hugs. Now, I think Hugs getting in the Hall of Fame has been a huge thing. I mean, the kid from Syracuse is coming here. It's like, I get to play for two Hall of Fame coaches now. You know, for Hugs, it's working out. You know, I don't think Neil Brown hasn't created the name that he needs yet. So I've got, you know, I'm a WVU fan and I'm just an eternal optimist in everything I do. When I coached, I knew we were gonna win. And I think part of your coaching, you have to have that. You got to have a mentality that, you know,
Well, something else people don't. Of course, Oliver Luck and somebody started the Country Roads Newell type thing.
Yeah.
But when you really look into it, there's only five sports that's getting any money. I mean, and of course, I'm a wrestling person, and wrestling's not one of the five.
That's getting money from Country Roads. Now, any player can get NIL. Yeah. Even at West Virginia Tech, I can go to Tech right now and say, hey, I'll give $500 if a couple of these players will come over and take their picture with me for an advertisement. Yeah. So any player can benefit from NIL, but the Country Roads Trust is a thing where they're building in where they can actually pay athletes as a group.
It's not really connected to the university.
Right.
It's a separate entity.
It has to be. Right.
It's
interesting.
We'll see how it works
out. I'm not in charge.
Way between all this work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Coalfield Conference, your reunions, what else, anything else you got going on right away that you want to talk about?
Oh, you know, I don't, you kind of put me on the spot. I'd have to go look at my calendar and check my notes.
Well, I wanted to tell you what, I wanted to share something with you before. And I think I brought it up on the internet one time, but I was at this get together my son was having, and there was a guy there that played at West Virginia Tech baseball the same time you did. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking baseball, and I said, mm-hmm. Well, you might know Randy Hunt. They said, oh, I know Randy. And he said, call him something. I don't know what.
Cookie?
He said, ask him about the name Cookie.
Yeah.
And I brought it up to you on the internet. Never did tell you who the guy was. And where'd the name Cookie
come? I don't know where it came. Well, I mean, when you play college ball, you create friendships that last a lifetime. We all had nicknames. So, you know, I thought, and there were three of us that played baseball, and a lot of people thought we were brothers. We actually looked alike. Randall Humphrey, it was a Woodrow grad. Randall played baseball at Woodrow. And so Randall and Jeff Russell was from Pennsylvania. The three of us, everyone on campus, we hung out together, and people thought we were brothers. Even though Randall and I had the same middle first name, you know, it was like the old TV show. Here's my brother and my other brother Daryl. I don't know. I ended up with a nickname Cookie, and then everyone on campus, that's what they called me for a long time. And then the other guy, we called him Steak. But I felt my nickname was better. Randall's was Sweet Cakes, so I think I came out on the good end of that that nickname because Sweet Cakes, and he took it like a champ, and I still call him Sweet.
Well, this guy lived up Powelton Hollow.
It was probably Johnny Lipscomb or
Jimmy Wentz.
Jimmy Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz.
Jimmy Wentz. So Jimmy Wentz was my catcher.
Yep.
When I played at Tech, and Jimmy was a couple years behind me. He was probably a sophomore when I was a senior, but he was a great catcher. He lives here in Beckley. He lives at Glade now.
Yeah, he was. He married Beth Keatley, yep. who was a friend yep. of my son's, yep. and that's why they. But he good guy.
So, yeah, Jimmy. I still have my last game at Tech. I pitched a 2-hit shutout against Fairmont State. And I still have the ball, and Jimmy was my catcher that game. And
maybe they have an opening on the Savannah Bananas for you.
not for either one of us. I think we're way past our prime.
With one last thing, when I did speak with Coach Goddard a little bit, we were talking about the possibility of VU Tech getting a baseball and football field over near the soccer complex. And I had spoken with a couple other people in town. They said, well, they have it, you know, he was thinking they're going to get started on it in 2024. And then I spoke with a couple other people. They said, well, they haven't even started fundraising yet. And then a month or two ago, I read in the newspaper, one of the commissioners in the county had made a statement that the county and was committed for $3 million and the city was committed for $3 million and in hopes of getting up to $20 million from the state for football and baseball.
So the hold up on it right now is we did not get the state funding.
Oh, well, that's
so that, you know. And I think, and so the new president at Tech is awesome, Dr. Stewart. Dr. Stewart's actually coming to our FCA meetings. I've got to be close with him already. I'm on the executive committee at WU Tech, so the alumni executive committee. So I'm very close with what's going on at the university. We were hoping that the state was going to give us about $20 million or so, and that was going to be a huge boost. We need about 30 to do what they want to get done. So it's going to be we want to bring football back to Tech, which is I think is going to help expand the school enormously. Okay. We're going to get alumni back involved. It's very hard. No offense to wrestling or volleyball or soccer, but we can't get alumni back to come watch a soccer sure. game in the fall. But football, when you get football, we're going to get alumni back for a homecoming. We've been having to have homecoming during basketball season. So anyways, I've seen the blueprints. And so one of the soccer fields will be converted to a football stadium, AstroTurf, and then up on the hill where they were going to build the Y, we're going to put a baseball stadium in, college baseball size stadium, and then also softball field, and there'll be also a running track. So we'll have track, wow. baseball, softball, and it's not just for Tech. We'll be able to hold tournaments there. In the summer, you know, baseball, softball tournaments. We'll have camps. the former president, you know, her dream was that we would host state high school championships, you know, here in Beckley. Have a stadium that could host a high school football championship or a baseball championship. That's, you know, we need to bring, right now Tech is, they're playing at, it's Gomart Park, which is yeah. former Appalachian Power Park. That's their home field right now, for baseball. It's obviously not good for students to attend games an hour away and
sure.
they're having to practice here and there. It's been the problem with Tech ever since they moved here is we don't have our own facilities. For anything, even basketball, it's, you know, the Armory is a great place to play, but can't control practices there. You're sharing it with Woodrow and you're sharing it with tractor pulls and, and, you know, whatever shows they got, you know, so we have to move home games quite often. So the WVU's on board with all this, which they're big purse strings. They own Tech, so we need, you know, they debt and And anyway, you got the county, we've got the city, we've got the YMCA, we've got everyone on board with completing this project. You know, originally they were talking 3 years. We'd, you know, try to get this thing started. We'd bring in a football. We'd have to start out with JV level. You'd start out with JV a couple of years, bring in some freshmen, sophomores, and then in the third year, you know, ultimately the dream, you got to have a vision. Uh-huh. And the ultimate vision would be to bring football back and let's get this back up to Division II level. Try to get back in the Mountain East Conference, try to get, you know, the old West Virginia Conference that we dropped out of.
Yeah, I'd love to see them get back in the conference because, I mean, NAIA is just, you got to go south, you got to go.
WV Tech is in the River States Conference. There's not another school in our state in that conference.
Yeah.
All of our conference games are in Pennsylvania and Kentucky and Illinois, Indiana, Virginia. I mean, you talk about, I don't know how they do it. Honestly, I don't know how you keep a baseball schedule up doing that much travel and keeping your classwork up. And I would just, you know, I just know what it was like when I played ball and it was in the West Virginia Conference. And, you know, we rarely went out of state and Shepherd was the long trip. And that's the only trip we'd stay overnight, you know. But these guys, they get it done. But I would love to see, you know, those are all dreams and aspirations. There's a whole lot of things have to happen. But, you know, the and money is always a deciding factor. And I know Dr. Stewart just did the State of the Union address last week. And, you know, we talked about the shortfalls we have in, you know, we need about $30 million in just in funding for the school itself and all the schools. But Tech is in probably as good a shape as any of the small schools in the state.
Yeah.
Financially and every other way. There's some schools that are really, you know, AB and Glim. I mean, there's so many schools that are having a difficult time surviving and keeping their sports afloat and keeping their enrollments continue to drop. And
do you think we have too many schools in West Virginia for as small a state?
Well, I mean,
I know a lot of them are private. But,
yeah, and West Virginia has traditionally a declining population. I think the last 2 years have been a little different as housing, COVID and all the things that's taken place. And I've seen a lot of people move into our area from out of state. But, I think we need kids going into professions other than college. I think we need a lot of kids in vocational school. We need plumbers, electricians. There's some valuable jobs out there for kids to make really good living. Doing things like that, getting a degree from ACT. But, I think Tech has, Beckley to me is the perfect small college town. I've been to Glenville. I've been to all the small colleges in the state playing ball and, you know, other than, you know, UC and Fairmont and, even Concord, you know, they're not far from Princeton, but none of them have, and even though kids will complain, there's nothing to do in Beckley, there's plenty to, you know, outdoor stuff and state parks and we have theaters and places to eat and shop and things. So I think Tech's in a good place. The university was down to we were down to 900 students when it was in Montgomery. It was dying. And the move to Beckley has been nothing but good for Beckley, good for Tech. Enrollment's right now around 1,600. And if we can bring football back, the plan is to build a third dorm, which will fill up with football players. And football will increase enrollment immediately. And it also brings more interest.
I think so too. Well, listen, it's been nice talking to you, man. Yeah. We haven't solved all the problems in the world, but we're heading in the right direction, I think. Yeah.
Like I say, glad I'm not in charge of solving all these problems. I try to keep up with my own. And
well, Thank you for being a good steward and keep on keeping on. And anytime you want to come back and talk, I enjoy talking with you. And I'd love to have you.
I appreciate it, Wayne. You're my old sixth grade basketball coach, and it's always fun to come back here. And I appreciate what you're doing and the history you're creating online and you know, all the stories that people are telling. And I think what you're doing is important. So I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And we've actually had about 133 now, I think, different people that we've spoken. Some we have spoken to twice, and that's everybody's got a story, and it's great.
Yeah.
And, well, anybody else that wants to be on the podcast, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And remember, until then, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet, and God bless you.
Down the middle.